Welcome to the South Elkhorn Christian Church Sermon Podcast. We hope you enjoy the weekly messages. For bulletin material, reflection guides, and other resources, visit southelkhorncc.org.
I'm supposed to not have any energy today. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless God's holy and righteous name. Let me first give honor to God, who is the head of my life, to Pastor Michael, the angel of this household in his absence, to Pastor Holly, to the other ministers, Pastor Dane, other ministers, elders, deacons, officers, members, and friends of the South Elkhorn Christian Church. I greet you this morning in the wonderful, magnificent, and glorious name of the one whose kingdom shall never end. I greet you in the name of Jesus, who is still the Christ. I bring you greetings this morning on behalf of your brothers and sisters that co-labor with you in ministry all throughout the Commonwealth of Kentucky, the nearly 200 congregations, and I bring you greetings on behalf of your regional staff. It is such an honor and a privilege to be here standing in this pulpit, behind this sacred desk once again to preach the uncompromising gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. I am grateful this morning that my wife got up with me this morning and traveled with me, and my mom and my wife went and picked my mother up from her apartment and brought her, my mother, Miss Eva Horton, my wife, Dr. Sharice Gillette. Won't you stand and say hello to everybody? This morning, I thank God for God's riches and blessings and pray that the Holy Spirit would guide my mind and guide my heart and open our ears and open our minds that we would receive a fresh word from the Lord. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto thee, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, my rock in a weary land, my way when there is no way, my will within the will, my all, the Alpha and the Omega. It is to the Lord Jesus Christ that we pray. Let us all say together, amen. Amen. I'm going to beg you this morning that you would turn with me to Paul's first letter to Timothy, the first chapter, verses 12 through 17. Hear these words of scripture. I am grateful to him who has strengthened me, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he considered me trustworthy in appointing me to this ministry. I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and an arrogant man, but I have been mercifully treated because I acted out of ignorance in my unbelief. Indeed, the grace of our Lord has been abundant, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. This saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Of these, I am the foremost. But for that reason, I was mercifully treated, so that in me, as the foremost, Christ Jesus might display all his patience as an example for those who would come to believe in him for everlasting life. To the King of ages, incorruptible, invisible, the only God, honor and glory forever and ever, amen. If you will, allow me just a few good preaching minutes. I promise to have you out before 1:15 this afternoon. And if you say amen, I might get you out by one. I want to look at the sermonic topic, grateful for grace. I believe that everyone in here is aware of God's grace. I further contend everyone in here, whether you know it or not, whether you accept it or not, is a beneficiary of God's grace. You know, there are just some days when you have to express it more profoundly, the thankfulness for God's grace and mercy. I don't know about you, but I'm grateful for God's grace. If you give me just these few minutes, we're going to look at that theme, grateful for grace. God has been so very good as we come off this Thanksgiving holiday. We have so much to be thankful for. Isn't it just amazing how God can take an old sinner who is rotten to the core, who has lived in the pits of sin and wasted their life in the septic system of iniquity, but because of God's grace and mercy, there begin to be a delightful child of God? Isn't it amazing how a woman whose life was a total mess, who had lost all respect by her friends, who was an outcast to society, who had been married several times and was shacking up with one who was not her husband, was at the well one day when the lead actor, the master builder, the master carpenter, the master designer was passing by her town and gave her living water, thereby helping her to gain self-respect and self-esteem, a smile on her face, a pep in her step, moving her from condemnation to forgiveness, from sadness to joy, from fear to joy, turning her into a delightful child of God. Isn't it just amazing how a man whose life was a total mess, who had lost family and friends and no longer lived in happiness and peace, a man who was possessed and tormented by the demons day and night, a man whose life was so wrecked that he tore his clothes and had to live outside the city by the tomb, had the master healer, the master deliverer pass by and change his life, cast out the demons and restored his mind, how he would testify, I'm not what I used to be. Jesus has changed my life. No, I'm not what I used to be. Don't be afraid of me anymore. Jesus changed my life. Jesus restored my life. Jesus set me free. Jesus gave me peace and took away the turmoil in my life. And now I am a delightful child of God. Isn't it amazing how God can take a little boy from the south side of Chicago, take him down to Jarvis where he did things that were not perfect, but now is a delightful child of God? How amazing that God will change your life and change your nature. God will change your way of thinking, your way of doing. He'll change your walk. He'll change your talk. He'll give you a song. Matter of fact, he'll give you a new song to sing. Anybody here got some new songs to sing? That's what it's like. That song that since he came into my life, what a wonderful change has come over me. I look at my hands, they look new. I look at my feet, they did too. Since he came into my life, what a wonderful change. Won't you just look at your neighbor to your left and say, neighbor, look at me. Hasn't it been a wonderful change that has come over me? If you look to your neighbor in the left, you might tell them, what a wonderful change. Thank you, God, for God's grace and God's mercy. But let me hurry up because I got to get you out before 12:30. In the text, Paul declares that Christ Jesus counted him faithful. Listen, not only is it wonderful to know that God has chosen us, but it's wonderful to know that God counts us faithful. I want you to know, no matter what, God still counts you faithful. You may mess up, but God counts you faithful. You may have given up for a season, but God counts you faithful. God told me to come over here down Military Pike to let you know that he is still strengthening and counting on you to do God's will. God told me to tell you, yes, I still got my hand on you. I'm still anointing you. I'm still giving you a ministry. I'm still giving you power. I'm still equipping you. I'm still enabling you to do the tasks that I've called you to do, to be co-ministers of mine. And if you just be faithful over a few things as I'm counting on you to be, then I will make you ruler over many things. I don't know what your situation is. I don't know where you've been. I know where I've been, and I'm thankful for God's grace. Is anybody else in here thankful for God's grace? Grace. God's unmerited favor. John Wesley in the Wesleyan tradition speaks of four types of grace. Prevenient grace, a grace that precedes our decisions. Justifying grace, the grace by which God freely pardons and reconciles a repentant sinner to God's self. Sanctifying grace, an habitual gift, a stable and supernatural disposition that perfects the soul itself to enable it to live with God, to act by love. And a glorifying grace is what awaits all who have been saved by grace, when one day our soul, which upon death dwells with Jesus until the day of the resurrection, is reunited with our glorified body. Grace, God's unmerited favor. Paul says in this text, I thank Jesus Christ for counting me faithful, because I was some of everything, but he forgave me. I like one other author's translation that reminds me that this was a conversation between Paul and his disciple Timothy. This was a letter of encouragement. Paul says, so let me tell you about what I was doing with my life and what I was focused on when God's grace covered me. It covered me at a time when I was blaspheming and denying Christ and forcing others to deny Christ too. I was graced by God at the time when I was a persecutor who used my physical power to destroy the church. It was at a time when I made murderous threats that were the trademark of my religious life. It was when I was still persecuting the Christian church, when I consented to the stoning of the Lord's servant Stephen. The Lord saved me when I was insolent and proud, and when I was a self-righteous bully, throwing my authority around with violence. It was when I was living in a state of disbelief and when I was a gospel ignorant. It was when I was dedicated and well-educated in the law, but my mind was blinded from the truth and my heart was impervious to the teachings of Christ. It was at a time when I mocked the teachings of Jesus and had hunted down and imprisoned God's people. It was in the midst of the stench of my own sin. It was there and then that there was an outpouring of God's grace. Right in the midst of my sin, God's grace overflowed on me abundantly. That ought to make somebody happy. I don't know about you, but I ain't always been where I am now. And if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I don't know where I would be. God protects us. Yes, Holly, God loves us, tells us to get back out there and do better. And God forgives us. But perhaps the most important thing that God does is offers us God's amazing grace. Dana, that quote last Friday when we were sitting there that Tracy reminded from Anne Lamott, that she says, I do not at all understand the mystery of God's grace, only that it meets us where we are and it never leaves us where it finds us. Isn't that just amazing? We too often write people off, but God is so powerful and loving that God can reach anybody. Even those who've been counted out by the rich and powerful, the church and family and society. Even those who've been counted out in the hallways of schools and boardrooms and legislative agendas. Even those who've been counted out from fair housing, living wages, and the betterment of their lives. But just as Paul was down, but by the grace of God, not out, neither are you and me. No matter what it does, I am grateful to God's grace. God saves us. God saves us. I heard a resident theologian that you might know very well. He said that God saves us to make the world better again. We are saved in community. Pastor Smith, I am grateful for God's grace. I am grateful. I am grateful that God saved us and that God continues to save us. I don't know about you, but from that time that God saved me, I think I've messed up a couple of times. From that time that God saved me, I think he told me to go right and I went left a couple of times. I still need God's grace. I wish I had a witness at South Elkhorn Christian Church the Sunday after Thanksgiving that was grateful for the grace of God. Those who have experienced such mercy, love, and grace will readily understand why Paul broke out in praise. You do know that Paul broke out in praise. Just look at the concluding of this text. Verse 17, he says, to the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. If I had some stepping music, I might dance up here just thinking about what God has done. I wish I had a witness. For if I had a witness, you might say when you were down and out, he brought you out. I wish I had a witness. For you would say you were almost dead and gone, but he gave your flesh a new life. I wish I had a witness. For if I had a witness, you might say you were thirsty and he took away your thirst. If I had a witness, you might say you were hungry, but he fed your soul. If I had a witness, you might say how God saved you, redeemed you, and set you free. If I had a witness, you might sing with me, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Ooh, I was blind, but now I glasses early in the morning. You ought to be grateful for God's grace. God's grace and mercy continues to flow ever so freshly upon our lives every day in everything we do. I am a recipient of God's grace. It's nothing that I can do to earn it. It's nothing I can do to make God stop giving it to me. I don't deserve it, but God still gives it to me. There's something about those twin brothers, grace and mercy. For God gives me what I don't deserve, but on the mercy side, God keeps me from what I do deserve. Is there anybody willing to clap their hands saying thank you, Lord? God's grace and God's mercy. I am thankful for God's grace. To God be the glory for the things God has done, the things God is doing, and the things we have yet in store for what God will continue to give us. But let us be thankful, and let us be grateful, and let us never, ever forget how loving God is. God is so loving that God sent God's own self to be God's sacrifice for God's judgment. I'm going to let that sit with you for a moment. God is so good that God sent God's self to be the penalty for God's punishment so that we might be born and that we might be reconciled back to God. Amen.
thanks for listening to the message this week. Visit southelkhorncc.org, where you can download reflection and discussion guides to dig deeper into the weekly scripture and message.